on Tzadicha Samad Aleph, as I understand it. We are about 7 lines down. Okay. Bekama Amo Beninus, wrapping up this discussion about the Amos that were used in the measurement of the Mizbeach, and he went through 4 different stages yesterday of trying to figure out where these Amos were. Sorry, I missed it. So the Kama Amo Beninus, how big is an intermediate Amo? Am Rabbi Yochanan Shisha Tfachim. Rabbi Yochanan says, 6 Tfachim. In fact, we can prove that. Am Rabbi Yossi Baravin, Avan Anami Taneina, he says, we learned this. Also, Rabbi Meir Omra, Shulchan Orko Shnema Sarva Rachbo Shisha. Because we learned that the Shulchan was 12 Tfach by 6 Tfach, and we know that the Torah prescribes that it should be 2 Amos by an Amo. So clearly they're taking an Amo to be 6 Tfach. Rabbi Meir, at any rate, in his view, is taking an Amo to be 6 Tfach. So the Gemara asks, you called this an intermediate Amma. Once you call it an intermediate Amma, that must mean there's a big Amma. Where we go, we don't know a big Amos, we know about a smaller one, the 5 Tefach Amma. Where do you get a bigger one than 6? Michlal Dahavi Amma de Nefisha Mina, does that mean that there's another Amma that's bigger? In a Chanam, it's true. Vatnan, as in fact the Mishnah says, Shtei Amos Hayu B'Shushan Habira. Shushan Habira, as we'll find out momentarily, is a room on the eastern wall of the Azara. They had a picture of Shushan Habira on it for reasons we'll discuss in a couple of lines. But there were 2 Amos that were drawn onto that wall, 2 Amo measures. Achas al Keren Mizrachis Tzfonis, one on the northeast corner of the Azara, the Achas al Keren Mizrachis Dromis, and the other one the southeast corner. Shal Keren Mizrachis Tzfonis, the one on the northeast one, Yisera al Shalmosha Chatzi Etzba, was half an etzba, bigger than Moshe's Amo. Moshe's Amo, as Rashi tells you, is Bashisha. The 6 Tefach one. This was 6 Tefach plus half an etzba, marginally bigger. Shaker Mizrach is Dromis on the southeast corner. I say Yisera Alea Chatzi Etzba is another half etzba bigger. So it's 6 Tefach plus an etzba, 6 1/4 Tefach. Nim says Yisera Shemosha Etzba, 6 Tefach plus an etzba. V'lama Amru Achas Gedola V'Achas Ketana. Why do you need to have this one larger one and one smaller one? What's the deal here? Kadeshiyahu Ha'umnin Nolin Beketana Umachzir. The craftsman would contract to provide based on the larger Amma, but they would take their payment based on the smaller Amma. We don't know any contractors who do this whatsoever. It tends to be the opposite. But that was the idea. The contractor would, no offense to contractors, but the idea was that they would avoid Mi'ila, because, as Rashi explains, inevitably, otherwise, if you would be precise, they might end up doing a little bit less than was being, than they were supposed to do, and the result is they benefit inappropriately from the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos says technically it's not really improper benefit from the Beis HaMikdash, because if you're going to use the way they would do it, they would be mechalel. Yeah. They would redeem whatever was being given to them based on the materials that they used, and redemption works even in a skewed way. I could redeem some hektish that's worth more on an item that's worth less. So, technically speaking, when you redeemed what you paid them on the materials that they provided, even if they weren't one-to-one, the redemption works. So this isn't true me'ila. It's just the idea in general. You don't want to be benefiting inappropriately from the Beis HaMikdash. You don't want to cheat the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very bad idea. So, so no, should they have had a 5 and an etzba and 5 1/2 an etzba?
There would be the mila concept.
Yeah, right. So maybe for the 5 you should have had one also. It's a good question. They don't suggest it here, but it's a good thought. Vitarti lamali. So fine, why is it that I need 6 and an etzba and 6 1/2 an etzba? Why don't I just have 6 and a half etzba or something like, or 6 and a full etzba? So he says, chada lekaspa v'dava v'chada lebinyana. One of them, the smaller one, was for silver and gold. And the idea was you didn't want to have such a big gap between what they were using to buy the materials and what they were using to get paid, because if you did that, they wouldn't want to do the work anymore. So you only half an etzba off for the silver and gold, and for other materials would be a full etzba off in order to make certain that the Beis HaMikdash didn't lose. Tosus gives you a nice association. We said that but the one that was smaller was the one on the northeast corner, and that's the one that's for silver and gold. So Tosfos says, yeah, the pasuk says in Eov, "Mitzafon zahav yaasa." The gold comes from the north. There, it's not talking about gold; it's talking about Hashem's arrival and the glow from the north. But the idea for us is gold is in the north. So that's a nice association from Tosfos. It doesn't sound like Tosfos when he makes that comment. I looked to see if he was quoting something from Medrash Rabbah, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Okay. Tanan Hasam. We mentioned this wall on which there was a picture of Shushan Habira. So the Mishnah says, Shara Mizrach Alav Shushan Habira Tzura. You had a picture of Shushan Habira on this eastern wall of the Azara. My time, a why? Two different views. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Remember, we saw Tosfos back on Sadi Gimel Amad Aleph that there were two Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So this is the later one. He's the one who's the colleague of Rav Chista. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said two different things. Chad Amar Kadesh Sheyed Umehechon Ba'u. One said you have to know your roots. That's why you had a picture of Persia there. You have to know your roots. Rashi says you know your roots for the sake of gratitude to the Persians who let you out of Golos. The Maharsha suggests it's like remembering you were an eved in Mitzrayim. It's for humility purposes. Know where you came from. The Chad Omar Kadesh Tehei Emas Malchus Alei. And the other one said, no, it's to remind you of who's in charge, so that you have awe of the government. And Om Rabbiani. Rabbiani said, La'olam te imas malchus alecha. You should always have awe of your government. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, V'yarducha la'vadecha ele elai v'shtachavu li le'mor. Moshe says to Paro, all of your servants are going to descend to me and bow to me and say, get out of Mitzrayim. V'yuladide lo kamarle. Moshe doesn't say to Paro, you're going to do it. Even though, as we saw, that's actually what happened. So Moshe doesn't insult Paro by saying, you're going to come down and bow to me. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Yochanan gives a different source from Eliyahu Shnemar, as the pasuk says, V'yad Hashem Yisrael Eliyahu V'yishanes Mosna V'yaretz Lefnei Achav Ad Bo'acha Yisraela. That Eliyahu escorts Achav running before him until he comes to Yisrael. Rashi says that the honor for Eliyahu, for Achav, for King Achav, was that he escorted him when he was alone. Right. The Maharsha in Zvachim Kuf Beis, where they also mention this issue of Kavod, gives a different approach. He says it's that you're running in front of him. You're acting as his servant is also a show of kavod. Why is it that we have to have emas malchus, awe of the king? Well, aside from self-preservation, that same Maharsha says insulting the king is an insult to Hashem. Just like we say you're supposed to run to go see the king to appreciate the glory of the melech in order to appreciate the glory of Hashem. That's the closest we can come to comprehending it. So too, you have to have awe. And if you don't, that shows disrespect to power, including the power of Hashem. The picture of Shushan Habira? Possibly. But it would have been there for a long time first. I mean, you're talking about a period of a couple of centuries, at least. So yeah, I would think Hornus would not have retained Shushan Habira on a guess. Yeah, unless he saw in some way that it was positive for him. Could be. V'aleu l'trufa. Now, this next piece has nothing to do with what we've said. It has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and it's on a pasuk in Yechezkel. But it's really here just because it's another machlokes between Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi in how to explain a pasuk. And specifically, just how to explain a pasuk. V'aleu l'trufa. We talk about a stream coming from the Kodesh Kadashim, and there's going to be a tree that's going to grow there, and aleihu, its leaves, will be l'trufa, will be for healing. So we play on the word l'trufa. Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Chad amar lahatir peh shalamala, v'chad amar lahatir peh shalamata. Rashi explains that one is literally to untie, to release the mouth above, meaning people who are mute, that someone who is mute would eat the fruit of it and would be able to speak. And the other one says, Lahatir Pesha Lamata, to untie, to open up the mouth below, and that refers to a woman who was not able to have children, that she should now be able to have children. The association with Chana coming to the Mishkan and davening for children. Itmar, we learned, or Itmar Nami, we learned also, since it's going to be the same lesson, Chizkia Omer Lahatir Peh Ilmim Bakapar Omer Lahatir Peh Akaros. One says that it's for those who are mute, and the other one says for those who couldn't give birth. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we now return to the discussion about the bread that's sitting on the table, sitting on the shulchan, I brought you the pasuk, shteim esrei chalos, shteim marachos, sheish hamarachos, the Torah says. 12 loaves, 2 piles of loaves, each pile being a pile of 6. So, Tanu Rabbanan, the Bryce is going to explain why I needed to mention such detail. That it's 12 loaves, that it's 2 piles of loaves, that it's 6 to a pile. What are you teaching me here? Ilu ne'amar v'lokachta solas v'afisaus, sar shteim esrei chalos, v'samtaus sam shtayim ma'arachos. Had it only said 12 loaves in 2 piles, v'lo ne'amar sheish, without saying 6 to a pile, ha'yis yomer acha shal arba ve'acha shal shmona. What it says, make 1 pile of 4, 1 pile of 8. And Tosfos says, la davka, it could have been any set of piles, doesn't matter. But the point is, you wouldn't require 6 in a pile. V'kach ne'amar sheish, therefore the Torah says 6. V'ilu ne'amar shtayim ma'arachos, sheish ma'arachos, and had it said just 2 piles, 6 to a pile, velunemar shteimesre, without saying total of 12, hayisiyomer shalosh shal sheish sheish. I would have said 3 piles of 6, Rashi explains, because I would have said that it's shtayim ma'arachos, 2 piles, and sheish ma'arachos in a third pile. So therefore I would have said 3 piles of 6, lekachnemar shteimesre, so it needs to say 12 in total. And had it said that it's 12 loaves and the and marachos and piles, v'lonemar shtayim v'sheish, had it not said 2 piles, 6 to a pile, ha'isi omar, I would have said shlosha shel arba arba. I would have said maybe you want symmetry, but it could be 3 piles of 4. Therefore you need 2 and 6. So what it's teaching me is that the piles are supposed to be symmetrical, number 1. Number 2, that there are supposed to be 2 of them. And number 3, apparently, that they're supposed to have 6. So, ha'ad shalo yomru gimel v'kros halalu, without these 3 psukim, lo lamadu, I wouldn't have learned anything. I wouldn't have picked it up. Or lo lamadu ha, possibly. I wouldn't have learned this. Ketzad. So what do? No sein shtayim marachos shal sheish sheish. You make 2 piles out of 6 each. V'im nasan acha shal arba v'acha shal shmona lo yatzad. If you do 1 of 4 and 1 of 8, it doesn't work. Now he says, we're about 10 lines up from the bottom on Tzadi Chesamad Aleph, Shtayim Shal Sheva Sheva. What if you would have 2 piles of 7 each? Just like my kids, you give them all the rules in the world, and then they say, well, what about if we do this way? Racha Bitcha Akhtana here, you've given every last detail. Nonetheless, what if I put 7 in a pile? Does it actually become disqualified? After all, it's symmetrical, and you have a minimum of 6. Yeah, you have 14 total. But I have 12. I just have 12 plus 2 more.
Oh, extra.
Right? Every month in the calendar has at least 29 days. So every month in the calendar has 29 days. Just some have a little more than that. What if I do 2 piles of 7 each? So Rebbe Omer, Rowan is Halyona, Kilo Eina. Rebbe says, sure, why not? It's just that the top one is just something in the airspace. It's not, it doesn't actually count. Yeah, no Kedusha to it. After all, we had that discussion. We said the Kedusha goes up only to the top of the 6th loaf. V'habayinan v'nasata al. But wait a minute. The Pasuk says, you shall put the Lavona on the loaves. And on, I assume, means flush with the top of the loaves. That was sitting on the top loaf. Amar le Rav Chista le Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Chista says to Rav Hamnuna, v'ami le Rav Hamnuna le Rav Chista. Alternatively, the conversation went the other way. Rebbe Latame. Rebbe is following his own sheet, though we've seen it before. Damar al b'samol. He says, al doesn't mean on. Al means next to. Disanya, as the Brisa says, Rebbe Omer v'nasata al marachas levanasa ka al. He says it just has to be next to the loaves. It doesn't have to be on them. How do you know that? Maybe al means actually on? No. Because you say that the parochas, the curtain, is on the aron, and we know it's not. It's in front of the aron. So al just means beside. It's interesting to note here that he used the wrong pasuk. Back on Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph, Abishol had the same lesson, and Abishol used Ve'alav Matei Menashe. Yeah. I don't know why he did that. Tosus also asks here, well, wait a minute, Tosus seems to think you're going to put it on top of the 7th loaf, not between the 2 piles the way Abishol had it. As Tosus asks, the limit of the Shulchan's ability to dedicate the Lavona is, we said, 15 tefach, right? We multiplied out the 6 loaves by their heights. So therefore the Shulchan can't sanctify the Lavona. But remember that Rashi already told us back on Tzadi Vav that he doesn't believe the table is needed to sanctify the Lavona. So Rashi won't be bothered by Tosus's question. That's its own discussion. Okay. In any case, the option of what we have so far is, we talked about the measures of the 6 tefach amah. How do I know that it's 6 tefach and the existence of 2 more amos that are slightly larger for reimbursal of, or for claiming from the contractors. They would get the reimbursal on a 6 tefach basis, but they paid out on a greater one. We had this aleyu l'trufa Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Inside, we also talked about the Shushan Abira and the Emes Hamalchus, why I'm picturing Shushan Abira and the Beis Hamikdash. And then finally, we have our stacks of loaves. The Gemara now moves on from that discussion to talk about the alignment of the Aron. Remember, as I put on your sheet, the pasuk in Shmos in Parshas Truma, the Aron is 2.5 amos long by 1.5 amos wide. You got to remember that for the following discussion. So, Kol HaKelim Shebemikdash Tanu Rabbanan. Bryce says, 5 lines off from the bottom. Kol HaKelim Shebemikdash Orkon LaOrko Shel Bayis. All of the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash were aligned with their length along the length of the room. Chutz me aron she'arko l'roch bo shel bayis, except for the aron, the length of the aron, meaning the 2.5 amma side, is actually going to be along the width of the bayis. When we say width of the bayis, we mean north-south. That's what we're referring to. And so it sat. And so the poles of the aron sat. So the Gemara wants to know, who threw in poles? What did poles have to do with anything? Micah Amar, what did you just say? Hachi ki Amar. This is what we're saying. Kach haya munach midibadav kach hayu munachin, or kach haya as it's written here, munachin. This is the way it sat, and we know it because this is the way the badim, the poles, were arranged. So since we know the poles were arranged this way, therefore we know that the aron was this way. What are you talking about? Ubadav nanalim. What do you know about the badim? How do you know about the badim? Disayas, the Brisa says the following. Vayarichu habadim. The badim were extended. Yachol lo yu nogin beparochas. I might think they didn't actually reach the parochas at the front. Talmud lomar vayiru or vayirou. That they were seen. They were visible. Yeah. Well, if it was that they were seen, that's the pasuk by the placement of the aron in the first base hamikdash. If they were seen, yachol yumekaron parochas v'yotzin. Does that mean they tore through the parochas to be visible on the outside? Did they protrude it? Tamalamar lo yera'u achutza. No, because the pasuk also says they were not visible outside. You make up your mind. Okay, sad. Sad, does that work? Dochkin ubolten beparochas. They actually pressed the parochas to protrude somewhat. You could see that they were there. The domen. They were like a chest protruding. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Surah Mordo Dili Bein Shaddai Yolin. He gives you the pasuk of Shir Hashirim comparing the Aron to the Mur, to the Tzur Hamor Bein Shaddaiim, which would be the Badim. Umanolan de Badim Lepuzia de Aron Abu Yasvi. And how do I know that they actually sat along the width of the Aron? Dimala Arko de Aron Abu Yasvi. Maybe they sat along the length. In other words, the way you're envisioning it is this. Let's pretend for a moment that this table here is the structure that you have for the Heichal. So the width is this way and the length is that way. And you're envisioning that the length of the, I'm pretending that this chumash is the Aron. I don't like to use chumash as props, but it's what I have. I'll use this piece of paper instead. This is my Aron, so to speak. The length of the Aron is this way, along the width of the room. Here's my parochas, and your badim go on each of the width ends. So one bad is here, one pole is here, and one pole is here. That's the idea. Right. The poles are running east-west, and therefore they hit the parochas, even though the aron is placed north-south. So the question is, how do you know that the poles are this way? You're proving that the aron is laid out this way based on the fact that your poles are here. But maybe the aron is like this, and the poles are this way. How do you know that your poles... this way on the audio. How do you know that your poles are actually aligned along those two sides? So his answer is it has to be, and I'll explain it outside before we see it inside. It has to be because you need two carriers who are standing, not literally carriers because it's the Aron, it doesn't need to be carried, but two people who are by the poles, and each one is between, we understand. So to fill the space, if you're talking about the poles being like this, you only have an amma and a half in between. You can't fit two people's shoulders here in the space. It has to be in the 2.5 amma space this way. Now you can fit your two people carrying the poles. And that's what the Gemara is going to now walk us through. That's a given, right? It's a given. I think it makes sense in terms of just the way you carry something on a litter. If you try to carry poles like this, you know, with you on the outside, you damage your shoulder. It's a good recipe for a pinched nerve at the least. Yeah, I mean, again, remember, they're not really carrying it, nonetheless. So you take a look in the Gemara. How do I know that the poles were along those width sides of the Aron? Maybe they were along the length. Rabbi Yehuda says no, because Trey Gavri Bamasu Pagolo Mistigilahu. You aren't going to fit two people in a space of an arm and a half. It's just not enough. How do you know you use four people to carry it? Two in front, two in back, and two side by side. Maybe in fact it's on the narrow thing, and you have one person carrying the poles. One person with the right pole on his right shoulder and the left pole on his left shoulder in front, and one person doing that in the back. Dichsiv, no, because the pasuk says v'nasu ha'kasim nosei ha'mikdash. The kasim traveled, the carriers of the mikdash. So he says v'nasu ha'kasim. The kasim plural traveled tray. So that's two, right? Nosei ha'mikdash, carriers of the mikdash nami tray is another two. 2 + 2 = 4. Exactly. Okay, so that's my aron placement. We now know how the aron is placed. Tosfos says that the poles miraculously extended to reach the parochas because the kodesh kadashim had the aron centered in the middle. Rabbi Akiva Eger in his Gilyon Hashas footnotes here to the Tosfos Yom Tov and Bava Basra, who brings an opposing view that the aron was actually on the eastern side of the kodesh kadashim, and therefore right in front of the parochas, and there was no miracle involved. Tosfos satisfies the pasuk vayarichu habadim. They extended. He says that they're miraculously actually extending. The other note that I thought was very interesting is Tosfos mentions that the poles protrude to reach the parochas laharos chibasan, to demonstrate Hashem's love for us. Where is the love in extending the poles? So possibly it's saying like it wants to be close to us, that it's practically coming out of the Kodesh Kadashim. But I thought, based on what we say regarding the Shulchan, they picked up the Shulchan to demonstrate it, to show it to people, and that shows Hashem's love for us. So we talked about it showing how they're warm, like Rabbi Shulchan Levi said in the Gemara, but perhaps also the fact that you take something that is tsanua, that's supposed to be hidden away and intimate, and you bring it out for display to the nation, demonstrates Hashem's love for the nation. So you do it by the Shulchan, picking it up, taking something that's normally in private, and bringing it out for them to see. And you're doing it also here with the Aron. The Aron is there in the Kodesh Kadashim, hidden away. But Hashem brings it and says, look, you'll be able to at least have some sense of it. That also shows love to a certain extent. Just an idea that requires expansion at some point. Okay. We now talk about Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, because for Shlomo it wasn't enough to have one menorah and to have one aron. No. Shlomo HaMelech has 10 menorahs. This is what you do when you have the money. He had 10 menorahs and he had 10 shulchanos. So we're going to talk about their placement in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to see two different charts here that I made on your sheet. I apologize. My tables aren't all even and drawn to scale and all that, but you get the idea. We're going to debate how the tables were set up in the room, in the Heichal, as you'll see. Let's get started with it. Tanu Rabbanan Braisa says, we're about 8 lines down. Asara Shulchanos Asa Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo made 10 tables, in addition, apparently, to Moshe's table. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayas Shulchanos Asara, he made 10 tables, Vayanach Baheichal, he put them in the Heichal, Chamisha Miyamin Vachamisha Mismol, 5 on the right, and 5 on the left, which we assume right now means 5 to the right of the entrance and 5 to the left. Remember that you enter east-west, right? The wall, the entrance to the Mishkan is on the eastern side. So if the entrance to the wall is on the eastern side, technically my drawing is wrong. It should say west-east, not east-west. But you get all the directions are skewed on the two drawings that I made there. If I upload the file, I'll change that. But the point is, you enter from the east, and 5 on your right and 5 on your left, don't you know the law? The Shulchan is supposed to be specifically in the north. So what are you doing? If 5 to the right of the entrance and 5 to the left of it, then the Shulchan ends up being in the Darum. You have some in the south, but it's supposed to be in the north. Rather, it means Moshe's was in the middle, and 5 to its right and 5 to its left. And we still don't know what that middle means. When we say Moshe's is in the middle, we're not even going to finish that today. That's going to go over into tomorrow's Gemara, trying to figure out where the middle was in terms of the room. Tanu Rabbanan. Braisa then says, by the way, Eser Menoros Asa Shlomo. Shlomo also made 10 Menoros. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayas Eser Menoros HaZahav. Eser Kamishbat. He made 10 menorahs, all according to the rules of how you make a menorah. He put them in the Hechal. Chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismol. 5 to the right, 5 to the left. And the same question. If you're telling me that it's that it means to the right and to the left of the entrance, you'll have menorahs in the north. The Torah says you have the menorah opposite the table on the opposite side. The same idea. It doesn't mean right and left of the entrance. It means right and left of Moshe's menorah. Okay. But now we come back to the Shulchanot. This took me forever to figure out. I'm not good with the spatial thing. It took me a long time. That's why you have diagrams on your page, to spare anybody else who's spatially challenged. Tani chada mechatzi bayis v'lifnim hayu munachin v'tani chada mishlisha bayis v'lifnim hayu munachin. This part's easy. One braisa tells me that they are in the inner half of the heichal, the half where the Kodesh Kodashim is. The other one tells me they're in the inner third. So which is it? Velo kasha, that's not a problem. Marka chashiv beis kachya kadoshim bahade hechel, marloka chashiv beis kachya kadoshim bahade hechel. It depends if you count the space where the Kodesh Kadoshim is. If you include the space where the Kodesh Kadoshim is, then it's in the inner half. If you don't, you have a narrower space, and it's in the inner third. Tanu Rabbanan, Braisa then continues to say the following. Mizrach umayrav hayu munachin. We say that the first view is Divrei Rebbe, Rebbe's view. The tables were aligned east-west. And what we mean by that, look at the diagram where I wrote east-west. Even though the directions are not precise, the point is precise. They are end-to-end along one wall facing east-west. Okay, that's the idea. If you were to look at this with the east side being your entrance, it's the right side diagram there, with the east side being your entrance, so then technically the top wall there is the south. It's along the southern wall of the room. The idea is it's on the southern, right, it's on the, it should be the northern. That's why I'm wrong with my directions there. It should be the northern. That part of it is right. It's the east-west alignment of it is right. It's just that I've got my diagram turned around. Don't worry about the south and north part. It's supposed to be the northern wall. The point is not that. The point is that they're end-to-end along one wall until you reach the midpoint of the room. That's the idea. Divrei Rebbe, so says Rebbe. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Tzafon V'Darom. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is the diagram on the left side of your page where I wrote north-south. And in fact, you end up not being all in one half of the room, as we'll see. But they're end-to-end, covering one wall of the room. Also the inner half.
So they're not set, but it goes north-south.
Correct. Not on the north side. It ends up all being on the western side.
So.
You talk about the north-south picture? The north half picture, they're on the western end of the room, behind the Kodesh Kadashim apparently, and they're aligned north south. But the length of the wall. That's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara asks, my time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say it's along the east-west wall? Gomar mi menorah. The answer is like the menorah. Ma menorah mizrach umayrav, avani nami mizrach umayrav. Just like the menorah is east-west, so too the shulchanos are east-west. Umenorah gufa menal. And how do you know the menorah is east-west? Midichsiv b'ner ma'aravi, because the pasuk says regarding the western one of the western lamp on the menorah. Tos discusses which one actually is the western lamp. But Yaroh oso Aharon lifnei Hashem. Aharon will arrange it. Sounds like it's one lamp, one flame in front of God. Michwal de kulu lav lifnei Hashem. That means there's only one that's closest to the Kodesh Kadashim, and all the other ones are not considered close to the Kodesh Kadashim. V'isak edaytoch tzafon v'darom. And if it were aligned north-south, kulunami lifnei Hashem ninu, they would all be closest to the Kodesh Kadashim. So therefore it must mean that it's aligned east-west. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Maitaima. And what's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's reasoning? Gomar me aron. He deduces from the aron. Ma aron etzafon v'darom. Just like the aron we said was aligned with its length along north-south. Av haninam etzafon v'darom. So too this one is aligned north-south. And this is against our Mishnah, which said that the aron was the only one that was aligned in this manner. He said, I learned from the aron. V'rebi nami ligmer me aron. Why didn't Rebbe learn from the aron? Because danan chutz mi chutz, vein danan chutz mi bifnim. He says the aron is in the Kodesh Kadashim. That's different from everything else. Don't deduce for what's done in the Heichal from what's done in the Kodesh Kadashim. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Ligmar Mi Menorah. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon who deduces from the Aron. Why doesn't he deduce from the Menorah? Amar Lach, he'll say to you, Menorah Gufad Safon Vidarom Avamancha, because he says, no, the menorah was also north-south. I disagree with our Mishnah. He says, I am deducing from the menorah. The menorah was also north-south. What do you do with the idea that one flame would be closer to the Kodesh Kadashim? Vaksiv, the Yaroch Oso Aaron, Oso Aaron Vanav, Lifnei Hashem. Dimitzadei Luhu Atzdudei. The answer is you slanted the wick of the middle lamp. Rashi, they have this nice picture. The Desayas, the Braisa, says, El Mul Panei Menoraya Iru Shivas HaNeiros, that the lamp's lights all lit, the menorah's lights all lit toward the face of the menorah. What does that mean? Melamed Shemitzadim Panei Klapei Nerem Tzoi. It means that all of the other ones were turned towards the middle one, and then we add, it isn't in that Braisa, the middle one is angled towards the Kodesh Kadashim. And Am Rabbi Nassan or Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan Shem Tzoy Meshubach, that tells you middle is best. I say this as a middle child, middle is best. Why is middle best? It sounds like this whole theory of geocentricity and being in the middle is the best in general, but Tosus connects it to the idea that if you have 10 psukim to read and 3 aliyos, the middle aliyah is the one that gets actually Rashi says that, the middle aliyah is the one that gets the most psukim. Tosfos directs you instead to the discussion about three who are traveling, where you say the middle one walks in the middle. There's also the Gemara in Brachos, Membav, and the Beis, that if three people are sitting in a meal, the most important one is in the middle. So this is all part of that idea. So the middle one is the one that's inclined towards the Kodesh Kadashim. Dropping like flies. Okay. So the Gemara then continues. If you had only 10 psukim to read, the middle aliyah should get the longest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was all brought in just to prove that the menorah may also have been north-south, and how to explain how it could have been north-south in order to satisfy the view of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who wants everything north-south. But we have to come back now to these shulchanos and ask what we're saying here. Bishlam alaman damar mizrach umayrav. If you tell me the tables are aligned east-west, right, along one side, east-west, then you can satisfy us for the most part. We have one problem still. But you're saying it's end-to-end in one line along the western half of the south wall. That's what should happen. So Hainu Davayasvi Asara Be'esrim. So you can say, I have 10 tables that fit. Remember, each one of them is 2 amos long. So that's good. The Heichal itself is 40 amos by 20 amos. So I have to fit it in the inner half of the Heichal. I have to fit it in a 20 amos space. End to end to end to end is 20 amos. And granted that the tables can't have precisely, they can't be end-to-end precisely. You have some gap in between. So it'll extend, Rashi notes, a little bit past the midpoint, that's fine. We're not bothered by that. That's 10 tables fitting into a 20-amma space. El Amanda Amar Tzafon Vidarom, but according to the alignment that they're north-south, you don't have any overage. There is no room, because it's a 20 amma length room, and we're assuming it's 20 precise amos. So in that case, Yud Bechav, Heichi Avo Yasvi, how in the world are you fitting your 10 tables end to end in the 20 amma space? It's not going to fit. It's just not going to work. Anyone who ever tried to put together furniture knows this. You have to allow for some margin of error. Vesu, and further, Kohanim Heichi Avo Eili, how did the Kohanim ever get through? You've now blockaded something. I mean, maybe it's not along that back wall even. Maybe you're actually doing it in front of the Kodesh Kadashim, in which case you can't get to the Kodesh Kadashim. There's no room. Vesu, and further, Matsinu Hei Shulchanos Bedarom. We said you want all the Shulchanos to be in the north side of the room. Now you're going to have 5 of them be in the south. Vesu, and further, Shulchan de Moshe Hechamanachle. Where did you put Moshe's Shulchan? We said Moshe's Shulchan was between the Shulchanos, right? Now you have 10 end to end. That fills up your 20 amma space. There is no room for Moshe's Shulchan. To which the Gemara says, well, that's actually a problem for Rebbe also. Velitameich, Rebbe, according to you, Lamanda per Mizrachu Meir of Nami, Shulchan de Moshe Hechamanachle. If they're east west, where is Moshe's Shulchan also? You fit 20 ammos, you 10 Shulchanos into your 20 amma space. Either way, it's no good. You know what the answer is? It's like your mother told you when you were supposed to bring in your shopping from the car, right? Take 2 trips. You had 2 rows. It doesn't have to be end to end in one row. You think that it's one row? Trade dari nenu. It's 2 rows. That's the way you did it. And if you see Rashi on the top of Tzadi Tesla Medal, on the top of 99A, You see how that worked. Either Mizrach Mairav alignment, so you have two rows of five that are done that way. I mean, Rashi has your Mizrach at the top, which is the classic way to do a map. Your Mizrach is always at the top, so just remember that. But his Mizrach Mairav diagram, he has two rows with Moshe Shulchan in the middle, or at Safandarim, the other picture that he has there, two rows aligned north-south, and again, the Shulchan is in the middle. And
where's the menorah here?
The menorah is not in that picture. These are shulchanos.
It should be on the left side. Yeah.
That's the way that we do it. By the way, you notice that the picture of the menorah in Rashi's diagram, back on the bottom of the previous side, took sides about whether the menorah was the slanted one, the Rambam Lubavitch school, or was it the Arch of Titus curved branch?
Yeah.
Well, also the base, right? So we can. I don't know if we can really learn anything from that plate, but yeah. Right. So that's the idea. Should we make a run for the next 10 lines? Mm-hmm. Or should we say 635 and cut our losses? I think I'm going to cut the losses, and that way I'll come back with a diagram that actually has north, south, and east, west properly displayed. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.